Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Jeanette Parker, and I'm coming to you live from Lawrence, Kansas. This is Medical Whistleblower, and we are a human rights advocacy network. And today we are so very, very pleased to have with us Robert Straley, who is a survivor of the Florida School of Boys. The Florida School of Boys was an abusive residential facility in Marianna, Florida. And he is going to share with us his personal insights about the infamous White House punishment room, where floggings with leather whips were administered to boys as young as 8 to 10 years old. This was considered by many to be the worst case of institutional abuse in our nation. The Florida School for Boys continued this brutal punishment on children ages 8 to 13 for 68 years. And Robert is also going to talk to us a little bit about the medical experiments that were also carried out on the children, which was a clear violation of the Nuremberg Code. The Nuremberg Code is a human rights law that prohibits the use of human subjects in clinical medical trials without proper approval and supervision. And clearly there was a violation of the Nuremberg Code in this case. And so with no further ado, I'd like to welcome Robert to us. Are you there, Robert?
Yes, thank you, Janet. I went to the Florida School for Boys in 13 years old, and I had run away from home several times, and they got fed up with that and sent me. When I arrived at the school, there were no fences. It was very beautiful, looked like a college campus, neatly trimmed hedges and lawn and all that. And so we were taken to a cottage, issued clothes, and I was a little intimidated by some of the older boys in the cottage. Actually, the oldest age there, I believe, was 17. I was in a cottage that was mostly 13 to 15 years old. And I sat down next to some boys that were talking about running away. And there was a boy behind us who was a snitch and told on us. And that night I went down and received 35 to 40 lashes with a leather whip administered by Troy Tidwell. And that was a very shocking incident. They lined you up along a wall. There was five of us. I was the very last one, which was not where you wanted to be. And they turned on a large industrial fan. They took out a leather belt that was approximately 3.5 foot long, maybe 4 inches wide. It was heavy. It was as heavy as a baseball bat. It was swung with full force over the head, and it would drive you down into the mattress about a foot. And after about 80 of these blows, I couldn't believe I was being hit with such force. I was numb, and I turned around to see what in the world this guy was beating me with, and that's when they grabbed me, and I probably got an extra 10 lashes for that. I went down two other times to the White House, which was the nickname for the punishment building there, and that was also by Troy Tidwell. I was taken there at night. He woke me up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, told me that I was smoking, and if I denied it, I was going in down. So you were just on the entertainment list for the night, and they took me down and gave me about 25 lashes twice like that. Okay, this school started in 1900. It's 110 years old before they closed it down. In 1903, they did their first inspection of the school, and they found the children worked in step chains. This was in 1903. These were bracelets that was welded on the children's ankle, and they were obliged to do the same work as the men in the field. If they could not do a man's work in the fields, they were beaten where they fell with a leather whip. It's not that this wasn't known about. The abuse there many times over was reported, but nothing happened until 1968. Roy Mandela, an official of the U.S. Department of Health and Education and Welfare, reported that Mariana was the worst example of a boys' reform school in the nation. There was, President of the Florida Senate, Louis de la Parte, heard about the beatings and went down there and found what he described as a blood-spattered shed, and went back and reported that to the government of Florida. I spoke before the House of Representatives and the Senate. Still nothing was done. Then there was also another man that went down there, and this was, let me see, I have a description here of it. Dr. Bird. Dr. Bird was a psychiatrist at the institution and then later went on to another institution. And he was brought before Congress to testify about Mariana because of some of the complaints about it. And he said that a boy that is going to be beaten must lay down on a narrow hospital bed, stretch his arm above his head, and hold on to the bed. He buries his face in a pillow. The staff member then beats him with a leather strap, 22 inches long, 4 inches wide, and half an inch thick. The beatings are called paddlings, but the beatings are delivered with the full force of a grown man. There is a rhythm to the blows, he commented. Boys are hit on the buttocks. They must not turn loose of the bars or scream or move. If they do, the licks they have been given don't count. They are allowed to cry. The following is a description by one of the cottage fathers who witnessed one of the beatings. He said the belt falls between 8 and 100 times. After the 10th stroke, the seams of the sturdiest jeans begin to separate, and numerous times the boy's skin is broken to the extent that stitches are required. He said the strap was wielded by a man that was at least 6'3" and weighed well over 200 pounds. He said that his swing could be likened to a strong tennis serve with a whip-like effect at the end of the downswing. The results are sickening. The child quivers and writhes in a contorted manner from the pain of a sadistic treatment, not only repulsive, but somewhat criminal in nature. Another supervisor who was trained for a year at Mariana described the boy's buttocks as bleeding profusely. The skin was broken. The most damning statement came from the doctor that worked there's daughter. I was there at the time. Dr. Wexler was the doctor. His daughter, Sheila, stated that she occasionally helped her doctor out, and she says that she sometimes treated boys who had cuts or welts on their behind, but if they needed a stitch, it would only be a few. Now, if you beat your kid till they only needed a few stitches, today you would be going to jail for child abuse. And this went on at that institution from the time it opened in 1900 till 1968, when it was stopped by O.J. Keller, who was sent there to be a superintendent. This was done under the governor, Claude Kirk, when he was the governor. Really, the thing that is the most outrageous of all is that in 1922, something happened, and that was the death of Martin Tabert. Now, this was a very big story at the time. Martin Tabert was a young man. I think he was 22, slightly built, and he was trying to go home. He had been down sightseeing in Florida. He tried to catch a train, and they caught him, branded him as when you don't have any money, a vagrant, and sent him to 30 days in one of the, at the time, the labor camp. Now, they farmed out convicts to turpentine companies and forest companies, people that cut down trees in the swamps and so forth. And that is where he was sent, at one of these camps. And he was not a big man, and this he got sick. He developed sores on his feet, and one day he couldn't finish his day's work. The whipping boss, named Higginbotham, stood him up and gave him 50 lashes. And, of course, he fell down while he was doing this and begging for mercy all the time. And when he couldn't get up, when Higginbotham commanded him to, he said, "Have you not had enough?" And he gave him 50 more lashes. Well, the men took him into the bunkhouse afterwards and took off his clothes and said that his skin from his shoulders to the mid-thigh of his legs was completely gone in one large chunk. And they knew he was dying, but they dared not call for a doctor. Well, this made it into the news, and it was also noticed by a lady, and her name was Mary Stoneman Douglas. She was the grand dame of the Everglades. She wrote a book, A River of Grass, which was a hugely popular book, and she was an advocate till she died at 108. When she heard the story of Martin Tabert, she wrote a ballad called Martin Tabert is Walking Florida Now, and it was read before the Senate and House of Representatives. So there was such an outcry against this brutal beating and unnecessary death that the governor, Governor Hardy, then in 1922, was forced to ban flogging for male prisoners in the state of Florida as being too brutal a punishment. However, it was allowed to go on at Marianna in the Florida School for Boys for the next 45 years. Which to me is just the worst treatment that a state has ever done to any child, was to let that sort of thing go on that long until somebody came along that took a look at it, O.J. Keller, and didn't like what he saw, and he stopped it. It took him a good year to get it stopped because there were a lot of advocates for this treatment. If you ran, you could get 100 lashes. For a small infraction, you might get 20, 25 lashes. Something more serious, you might get 50 or 60. But there were men that got over 100 lashes. And I was a hospital boy when I was staying there, and I witnessed three of these boys that had gotten that. One I'll never forget, he was a small boy. He was, I think, 14, maybe 15, and his skin was just completely whipped off from the middle of his back down to below his buttocks, and he couldn't stop crying, he couldn't say anything, and he shook like a leaf, and that went on for 2 days while I put peroxide on him and tried to make him more comfortable, and then I came in one morning and he was gone. And that was the last time I ever saw him. But there are men today. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
I mean, there were 31 graves at the site, unmarked graves, right?
That's true. There were. And the FDLE did a report on this. There were four of us involved in the expose of this atrocity, and that was myself, Roger Kaiser, Dick Colon, and Michael O. McCarthy. And I had never told anybody about this, not even my parents, because when I got out, I was 14 and a half, say, and I was afraid I might go back there if I said anything about it. And after this story broke and went nationwide, about 150 men called in to my phone number, and I would say 90% of them had never told anybody. I got a call from a former secretary, Monica, and I had saw a picture of Martin Anderson, and that was the black boy that was killed at a boot camp in Florida. And there was a big uproar over that. They actually dug his body up and did a second autopsy, and his cause of death was a lethal dose of ammonia. And I thought that was terrible. I saw a picture of him when he was 12, and he was a very skinny, slight-built young man, but he had a very bright smile, and his eyes sparkled in the picture. Somebody had captured that very just right with a camera. And I thought he looked like myself, you know, almost when I went in Mariana. And his face stuck in my mind, so while I was talking to Mona, I told her about Mariana. I said, I went to a place where they beat you with whips and probably killed some boys. And she said, my God, you should do something. And I said, well, it's been 50 years. Well, the next day she did some Googling around and came up with Roger Kaiser's website, which was a picture of the White House and a description of his beating. That got the two of us together, and at some point we had to ask ourselves, could this possibly still be going on, since we'd never heard anything about it in the news? So we spent 2 months looking for information and looking into the past history of the Florida School for Boys, excuse me, who when it started out was the Florida Industrial School for Boys. And we found in the Florida State Archives and the Florida Correctional Archives a great deal of what I described to you of past abuses. And we sent this letter out to about 150 news agencies as far as Georgia, South Carolina, Mississippi, and in Florida. And we got several hits on it by reporters that were interested, but basically they said it's such an old story, we just don't think it would be relevant today. But the article that we sent fell into the hands of Michael O. McCarthy, who was one of the people that was involved in the Rosewood massacre cover-up and actually helped bring that story to life. And the people that were involved in it that were still alive actually were compensated by the state of Florida for what happened there. It was a black town that was burned to the ground by an angry white mob. And he was a filmmaker and knew a lot of people that were journalists. He took the story to Carol Marvin Miller, an investigative reporter in Miami at the Miami Herald, one of the top investigative reporters. And she didn't know whether to believe him or not, and did some of her own investigating and found that this was true. So I was out on the road. I had left all of the information that I had with Michael and said, do what you can to get this into somebody's hand. And he not only managed to get it to Carol Miller, Marvin Miller, but also to Gus Barrero, who was an employee at the institution, at the Dozier School for Boys, as it was called in the 80s. And they decided to do something about it. Carol Marvin Miller broke the story in the Miami Herald with two full pages and a third page column on the front. And so now the people at the Florida or at the Dozier School for Boys had to do something. And so they decided to have a ceremony, and they invited the four of us. Actually, one man came down from Georgia. And that was Willie Bill Hayes, who was a correctional guard there and was risking his pension, not to mention his job, to come down. So they held this ceremony in front of the White House. They had they let us get up and say what we wanted to, as long as we didn't speak about the present. We could only speak about the past. there was around 50 plus people there, people from the governor's office, people from other institutions, and of course the staff of Dozier were sitting there. And good many of them, of the younger people especially, didn't even know what that building was for, and they were shocked when they heard us talking about it. A plaque was unveiled, and it read something to the effect that this would never happen again, and what we had gone through and so forth. That is on both of our websites. My website is thewhitehouseboysonline.com. Roger Kaiser's website is thewhitehouseboys.com. And then we planted a tree, and then they took us across the street to 31 unmarked graves that were just marked with steel crosses. It was a round metal welded together, no names or anything. And the just so happened that Brendan Farrington of the Associated Press was there, something they hadn't counted on. And he took the story, and the next day it went nationwide to every paper in the country. And that created a huge uproar, and we went up to Tallahassee, Michael and I, and Roger and Dick Cologne, and asked the governor to do an investigation. So he called upon the FDLE to do the investigation, and basically what they did was they whitewashed the White House again. Their report was flimsy. The boys that were involved in the beatings, they never interviewed one man that had scars, and there are several out there that do. And none of those appeared on their list. They simply referred to the other boys as no residual scarring. In other words, these severe beatings had never taken place. Well, that was the thing that aggravated us the most. Jerry Cooper, who was beaten very severely, 132 lashes, I believe, had the ball of his foot broken by Troy Tidwell. He went against the advice of his lawyers and went to Tampa and had a doctor examine his legs and buttocks, and they did a test and put some chemical on it that made the scarring visible, and you could see it. And then he took a lie detector test, which he passed. Now, Troy Tidwell and Walters and several of the other whipmasters, as they called them, all said that no boy ever got more than 15 lashes as if delivered by a loving parent. And I have about 130 men on a list that will testify that that's certainly not true. And there's 300 men altogether that came out of the woodwork. There were actually a few that did get 15 lashes, but for the most part, they were all 25, 40, 50, and several beyond that.
We're coming to, we have a limited time here. I wanted you also to talk about the medical experiment.
Oh, yes, Dr. Souza. Dr. Souza was a psychiatrist there, and he was interviewed by Joy Rees-Shaw, and I'm going to read you from her article. He gave the boys about 1,800 to 2,200 boys a medical potion that he had whipped up himself, consisting of bone marrow and who knows what else. I called the Federal Food and Drug Administration, and I talked to a lady there, and she was shocked and said even then this would have been highly illegal. You could not use an untested potion even for testing. Even if it was legal to use it for testing, you couldn't do it on juveniles. And his theory was that boys were not getting the right cell blood count, did not get enough protein and hemoglobin, and this caused him to whip up his own, what they called Sousa's bone soup, and this was given to over 1,800 inmates. And you can read about this in the Florida Archives. It was under a article called Patterns of Delinquency by Joy Reese Shaw, and that is in the archival records of the St. Pete Times. So this was very illegal. It was done without any consent. Many of the boys that received the over 100 lash beatings were sent to solitary confinement and were given this soup on a daily basis, which kept them in a sort of a mental limbo as to where they couldn't, they blacked out or everything was hazy and they couldn't remember what had been done to them in there. We have witnesses that actually took this potion and reported on it. But that's just another case of how completely out there their treatment of kids were at this institution.
And so how many children in total went through this Florida School for Boys?
Oh, thousands. There were thousands that went through it. You consider that it's 110 years old. Now, they closed it finally. There was a huge amount of press that went on for almost 3 years from 1980 when Carol Marvin Miller broke the story. Ben Montgomery of the St. Pete Times, Waveney Ann Moore, and Edmund Fontaine did a 5 or 6 newspaper spread. And this won the DART Award for Trauma in Journalism and was a runner-up for the Pulitzer Prize. They did a huge article, over 3,000 hours of investigation, and that was at the St. Pete Times in St. Petersburg, Florida. And if you want to read about it, it's really something. The article was called For Their Own Good. And all you have to do is Google that and put in the St. Pete Times, and you'll pull up all of the articles.
There are many courageous journalists there at the St. Pete's Times who have reported on numerous problems with child abuse in residential treatment. We have only a few minutes left here, Robert. So if anyone who's listening who is themselves a victim or survivor of the child abuse in residential treatment, do you have some words of wisdom for them?
Get some help if you can. And just remember, you're not alone out there. There are literally thousands of people that have been abused and have stories to tell, just like the one that I did. Roger Kaiser just wrote a book for the Bethany School, which was, I believe, a school for girls that was very abusive. And Anderson Cooper 360 just reported on the death of a young girl that was beaten for 7 hours until she died at the hands of her foster parents, I believe it was. But this is happening all over the country, and it's happening right now. Now, every 6 hours, a child dies in the United States from abuse. On the BBC page, yesterday and the day before, they have an article called Behind Closed Doors, and very much reflects on the same type of article that Ben Montgomery did and Waveney Ann Moore at the St. Pete Times. It's an in-depth study. There's 6 videos. That's on my website as well. And so
We have only 90 seconds now, so I'm sorry to cut you off. I want to recommend you all go visit the website, The White House Boys and thewhitehouseboysonline.com. This is Dr. Jeanette Parker. We're medical whistleblowers. And I am so happy that you came on and joined me here, Robert, share your story. And I know that we have not exhausted the information that you have to give us, and I am going to recommend that everyone check out the book written by Roger Kaiser and also check out the website that the White House Boys Survivors Organization has put forward, thewhitehouseboys.com and thewhitehouseboysonline.com.
Yes, and we also have a book out, Boys of the Dark, and that is on the website as well, written by Robin Gabby Fisher.
Okay. Now you know where to go for additional information. And thank you very much for joining me, Robert.
Thank you.
You have
privilege.
Been so informative, and this is so important to get out to our public. Thank you for coming on our show. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.